woods and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez back for another hour on the Michigan Talk Network in the first hour of this week's show. Thanks so much to our friends Jamie Belcher from U.S. Law Shield talking about the gun laws and what you need to know as a CPL holder should you ever have to use your firearm in self-defense. Also from Odin's Workshop, we had James Dennis and Jeff Savitsky from Continuous Precision talking a little bit about protecting and enhancing your firearms. Then we're going to move things a little bit different direction here. Our good friend Dave Wheeler from Lucky Buck is joining us on the show today, and we are being brought to you by Conquest Sense and Not Just Guns in Mason. Mike Green, those guys doing a great job with their auctions on Wednesday night. Make sure you check them out, notjustguns.com. And Doug and Karen Roberts with Conquest Sense out of Davison, Michigan. Very good people as well. Dave Wheeler, longtime friend of the show with Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Dave, it's been an awkward, but still, I'm guessing, busy year for you. Welcome, sir.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's been a little different. We've gone through it before, though, so it's not too surprising or not a lot of difference from what we've dealt with in 08 here in Michigan and with numerous other states. Missouri, Illinois, Wisconsin have all, we've all gone through it, you know, all those states that have had the same experiences. So,
you know, and I talk to a lot of people, I talk to a lot of hunters and anglers throughout the course of the week, and you know, a lot of us, a good majority of us, are pretty much on the same page in regards to this baiting ban, that we don't, you know, necessarily like it. If there was some really good sound science behind its opposition, behind the ban itself, I think we'd be more encouraged to follow it. But we're having a hard time getting those answers from those people that want to keep the ban in place, and we're getting better answers from people like these, some of the deer farmers out there that are dealing with this on a basis, probably more than we would see in the wild, and you know, people like yourself, you know, that this is your life, basically what you're doing.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of research and trying to rationalize. I think everybody has the same goal. They want a healthy herd of deer. They want people to be safe. They don't want something like this causing an individual to get sick, a hunter to get sick that's eating the meat. We want public safety first, a healthy deer herd, and then we want this to be a long term. We don't want to make a decision now that compromises the viability of the herd even 20 years from now. It needs to be long-term and sustainable. And a lot of the arguments are, I think, off the cuff. They're, you know, I'm going to lose my business, or I'm going to lose this revenue, or the state's going to lose this revenue. Well, in the long term, what happens in the next year or two is fairly minor compared to a long-term loss. And so I'm trying to look at it from more of a science point of view, and actually, is what the ban is accomplishing going to help slow and prevent the spread of chronic wasting? And I have come up with some ideas that they're very very untraditional. I mean, everybody pretty much uses the same arguments against or for feeding and baiting, and I've come up with some, I think, some unique directions to take that. So,
you know, and I look at it from the perspective, Dave, that, you know, you're more than just a guy throwing mineral in a bucket, putting it on a shelf, hoping somebody's going to buy it. There's some science. There's a fair amount of science going behind the nutrition of what you're doing. We've had these conversations with you in the past about the benefits of the selenium and how often a deer will visit a site, you know, and things of that nature. So, you know, this isn't just you coming at it from an economic standpoint.
Right. In fact, I have two different arguments against banning feeding and baiting, and one of them you already hit on was the selenium. We're actually helping the immune system. It's been documented, and there's tons of research on the livestock side of it, but there's also several studies on the wildlife side as well confirming that selenium helps the immune system. It helps strengthen the cell wall so viruses can't penetrate it as readily, We know the state of Michigan especially is completely devoid of selenium, and we supplement all of our livestock for it to keep them healthy and keep them better resisting diseases and illnesses. And so I think by not allowing us to supplement the wild herd, we're actually reducing their immune system strength. And I don't think that will make a difference on CWD, but we're also dealing with EHD, blue tongue, we're dealing with TB, and there's probably a half a dozen other diseases that could hit us in the next, you know, several years. That the healthier that immune system is, the better that deer is able to resist those diseases. And there's been studies done, and you can lose 25% of a herd in one season with an EHD breakout.
Sure.
And so I don't think we can just ignore that and focus solely on CWD, especially since CWD has never been eradicated once it's established. I mean, I am all for keeping the areas that are clean, but once it's already here, then it's just a matter of managing for it rather than trying to eliminate it, because eliminating it in the 50 years that it's been around, it's never been eradicated. There's management practices that may potentially slow the disease down, but that's where the real debate comes in. Does feeding and baiting enhance the chance that deer is going to spread the disease, or does it actually slow down the spread of disease? And that's where my second argument comes in, and I'm hoping to... I presented yesterday to the Senate subcommittee on this bill that's being introduced, and I'm hoping to build a dialogue with their scientists or with their experts that are claiming that feeding and baiting is a ban is absolutely critical to preventing the spread on it.
Dave Wheeler's our guest here. Lucky Buck Mineral is Dave's product, lucky-buck.com, longtime friend of the show here. Just a couple minutes left in this segment, Dave. You know, my wife and I were coming back from up north the other day. We counted in the 65-mile-an-hour zone there around St. John's. We counted from just what we could see as we traveled southbound, 41 dead deer. Okay, this is no joke, and that's more dead deer than we've had confirmed CWD cases in the state of Michigan. All right, and I called Doug Roberts from Conquest Sense, going, Doug, what is going on? And he was talking about food sources, about how the last part of this winter has been so harsh that they've been moving around so much, and a lot of those deer were small deer that, you know, were probably first of the year from last year, and you know, it's just amazing to me.
Another potential reason for that is they're desperately looking for a sodium source right now, and we use road salt on the roads to control the ice, and we all know how that works out when those deer come up to the roads to get that salt. So that's the other component of my argument, is that, you know, there's natural sources of sodium. The deer are going to be drawn to a sodium source of some kind because they're so deficient in it. Mm-hmm. There's brine discharges out of oil wells, and there's pasture cattle operations that put out salt blocks, and the deer have access to them. So if you eliminated all the supplemental feeds like mine and trophy rocks and stuff, you're going to be limited to the oil wells and the pastures, and you're going to have, if you have 20,000 deer per county in the state of Michigan, which is a pretty good average, and you have 14,000 oil wells and you have 6,000 pasture cattle operations, you're going to have 20,000 deer coming to 240 natural or existing sodium sources. Makes a concentration of 81 deer per site, and they're going to have to travel 4.8 miles to get to that average site. So with my the sales I had in Michigan and Trophy Rock and everybody, we're adding about 20,000 more sodium sources per county, which leaves you 9 deer per site instead of 81, and an average travel distance of 0.6 miles instead of 4.8. So I'm contending that we're concentrating the deer more by banning these additional sources. And if we could evenly distribute more sources of sodium, we could have less potential movement of the deer and movement of the disease at the same time.
All right, Dave Wheeler is our guest here. We're going to talk more with him from Lucky Buck on Wild Michigan. I said you got to get up early.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around. I want to feel its way. I want to feel its way.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Talking with our good friend Dave Wheeler from Lucky Buck. Wild Michigan being brought to you by Conquest Sense and Not Just Guns here in on the Michigan Talk Network. And it was kind of funny, Dave, we were talking off air about, you know, you make me feel like a rocket scientist sometimes, Dave, but I can't really take credit for it. When we were talking about all the deer we had saw that had been hit by the road, you know, the possibility, like you said, of them coming to a salt source, which, gee, Michigan road salt, a good sodium source? I never would have thought of that.
It doesn't work out too well with the insurance companies aren't really on board with that idea of baiting them into the roads.
No, it's they kind of tend to frown upon that, which you know what, frankly, I'll agree with the insurance companies on this part, but other than that, there's probably not a lot I agree with them on here in Michigan anyway. But, and you know, I talked about this a little bit about getting pushback. Now, this is me bringing this up. I don't want to throw you in on this, but I was very, very disappointed to see MUCC coming out so blatantly on their Facebook page demanding that their members and, you know, contact their representatives in the state to help keep the baiting and feeding ban in place. Now, the pushback that I saw in regards to that post was not surprising because of, you know, what I know and who I've talked to in this business. And their response was, well, you know, their opinion doesn't count because they're not members of MUCC. Well, guess what? I'm not either, and there's a reason why, because you are taking it a direction. This is an organization, in my opinion, that they're losing their backing. These groups and these clubs across the state of Michigan, as much as I would like to see them continue and grow, they are shrinking and losing members at a rapid rate. And I'm afraid that their pull is not going to be what they think it is. And to completely alienate so many people in that respect, and just because we aren't members, we shouldn't have a voice, was really disheartening to me. But again, I want that to be known that this is my opinion, and it's nothing personal against Amy or anything else, but I really tend to have some concern with some things that are going on.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, at the committee meeting yesterday for the Senate Bill 37, there was a lot of well-organized groups. The Farm Bureau is opposed to this bill, and there's, they are going on the presumption that the science is good. And that's, I guess, what you have to presume. You know, there's been 50 years of history behind chronic wasting. And one of my points is that, you know, if you do things the same way, and you're not improving the situation, maybe you need to look outside the box just a little bit. There's 25 states with bans in effect, complete bans in effect right now, and I think 15 states that have partial bans. But yet, CWD continues to spread. It's never been eradicated, and once it's established, you can't get rid of it, essentially. And so maybe we need to look at it from a little different point of view and maybe do something that might not be the traditional way that it's been done in the past. And that's what I'm proposing, just taking a fresh look at it. But you're right, these organizations are fairly strong and very much opposed to reallowing the feeding and baiting. But there was a lot of people in support of this bill as well, and they had really good arguments as far as encouraging hunter numbers. They're concerned about a decline in hunter numbers if this tool of feeding and baiting isn't allowed. And they're bringing up the point, what's the difference between an apple tree dropping apples under a tree or you bringing out 2 gallons of apples and putting it out one time for the deer? What's the difference? And So they made some really good points as well. But I mean, I think at the end of the day, everybody wants a healthy long-term herd. It's just a matter of determining the best way to get there.
No, I agree. And you know what? And I want to, like I stated on their Facebook page, I have applauded, and there's been a lot of things that the MUCC has done that I feel very good about. At the same time, I should be allowed to speak my mind in opposition with anything. I mean, that's what we're here in this business for, is to promote each other and to have one voice, as it were, even if sometimes there's opposition to what we believe, and bringing people in that this is their life's work. This has been your work. It's been Doug Roberts' work. Everybody involved with this, you know, has a part and a stake in this, not only on an economic basis, but on a personal level, that we want to see this state succeed and have, you know, the same successes that we've had in years past. That's why we're doing pheasant, you know, these restoration programs with upland game birds and the like. The turkeys have been, you know, just incredible with their resurgence since we started that program so many years ago. And now protecting what we've known about for 50 years and sadly have waited again until it's been a crisis.
But I do want to point out that I think the DNR this time, as opposed to in 08, when the 08, 09, and 2010 ban was, I believe, very poorly handled. And this time, they seem to be, in my opinion, more open-minded and willing to discuss. Back then, I went before the board with an argument about the merits of the improving the health of the deer, and they said, oh, this makes sense, but you need to talk to our state vet. And I went and talked to the state vet, and he didn't even listen to my argument. So it was very frustrating for me to not even be able to present my side of it, where yesterday after the committee meeting, I talked with the vet there, and she seemed very open to a dialogue on how can we, you know, come up with the best possible compromise. I shouldn't say compromise, the best possible way to handle this situation. And so she seemed very open to communicating and to discussing and to debating the merits of this topic. And so I felt that was that, along with the fact that they brought in a lot of other states that have had a lot of experience before they made this decision. The problem I have is, though, that they've cited Wisconsin versus Illinois, for example, of being an example of where baiting is helping to slow the spread of the disease. And they've both had restrictions on feeding and baiting, both Illinois and Wisconsin. Illinois kept going with a complete ban, and Wisconsin relaxed some of their feeding and baiting regulations. And they cite that Wisconsin now has some areas that have 40% incidence of CWD, and Illinois still only has 1%. Well, to me, that's totally bogus the way they're looking at that, because Wisconsin started with a lot more cases and would naturally continue to grow faster.
Right.
I could use the same bogus science by saying that Wyoming and Colorado have the highest rates of any state, and yet they've always banned feeding and baiting. But that doesn't make that the justification. So.
All right. Dave Wheeler, appreciate joining us, man. We look forward to talking to you again more here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.